Grady's fun in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be together again and look into the Word of God. For some thoughts this morning, for a meditation, I'd like to think about the eyes of the Lord for a while here this morning. The eyes of the Lord. There's a lot of, I don't know exactly what God looks like. You don't know exactly what God looks like. I don't know if there's a way to even picture what all God looks like, but when you look into the Word, there are many examples where the writers use things that we can see to try to describe God. And one of the things that we see is the eyes of the Lord. And so I decided to take up this subject, try to find the different verses that talk about this. And the more I studied it, the more I realized there's no way to cover it all, because the Bible is all about God watching and man looking to God, or not looking to God. But just thinking about your eyes for a little bit, our eyes are amazing, what they can do, amazing masterpiece that God has made, what they can take in, and how much it plays a part of our life. And as I was thinking about it this morning, which of my senses would I want to give up? I don't think it would be my eyes. And if someone offered me $1 million or several $1 million or anything I ever wanted, if I would give them even one eye, how many of us would do it? I don't think so. Very, very valuable. Why? Well, the eyes are our window that we look out of and see life. But our eyes are also a window into our own soul, into our own being. When you look at somebody, the first thing you look at is their eyes. And one of the things we comment on sometimes. If you're falling asleep this morning, probably I'll notice it in your eyes before I see it anywhere else. I may even notice it before you notice it. That's the way our eyes work, so much a part of us. Turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 12 for a text verse. I don't have a real nice, clear outline this morning, so I'm sorry I don't have that. But I do have a number of thoughts, and if you're taking notes, you're going to have to just more write down thoughts this morning rather than a clear outline. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Here's a text verse for us to think about. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open under their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And if we look at the context here, he's talking, let me just read verses 8 down in through that down past there a little bit. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open under their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And I'll stop reading there. And the reason I read the context is because it gives you a little picture as to what God sees. First of all, he's warning them that be careful how you live. Be careful what you do. Be careful how you treat each other. Make sure you have compassion. Make sure you love. Make sure you aren't doing evil. Make sure you're blessing each other. Because God is watching. God has eyes. And then he goes on to say, it doesn't matter if you suffer harm. It doesn't matter if life doesn't work out for you. It doesn't matter if you're accused of things for Christ's sake, because God is watching. God has eyes. God is seeing those things, and God will reward us accordingly. I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 6 and just read a couple verses from the story of Noah. Not going to read the whole story, but there's just a number of thoughts here that it gives you a picture of God's eyes and what God's doing with his eyes. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120. It would be 120 days until the flood would come. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this gives us a little picture of God and what God is doing. In Luke chapter 17:27, it says that they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So here were these people living just like people live, just like we live today. Same thing is going on then, now, as was going on then. And what was God doing? God was seeing. God was watching. He saw wickedness. He saw the wicked choices that people were making. He saw their evil deeds. He saw the individual things that they were doing and how they were relating to each other, how they were making themselves great in their own way. He saw who was committing the evil, who was the evil, and who was the good. Also says he saw the intensity of the evil that they were committing. He saw how bad it was getting. He says it was great on the earth. We also notice here that God sees a little differently than what man sees. God sees more than what we see. He's not limited to actions. It says here he saw their thoughts. He saw that the imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So he sees more than just what we do. He's able to see exactly what you're thinking. I can't see what you're thinking. Now, when you live around someone long enough, you can get some pretty good ideas as to what they're thinking by watching them. Because you've seen it before, and you saw they were getting ready to say something, getting ready to do something. But we're very limited in what all we can see. Not God. God can see the thoughts. God also saw the frequency of the evil thoughts. He saw it was every thought, and he saw it was continually. And he saw where those thoughts were coming from. They were coming from their hearts. And they imagined it, and they thought of what all they could do. For Samuel, when Samuel went to anoint King David, and he didn't know which one it was going to be yet, and he looked at the first one, and he thought, this would be a wonderful one to anoint as king. God said, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So God is seeing with his eyes, and God is looking. And I know I keep saying this, but I want to emphasize this morning. God is seeing beyond what we try to present to everyone else. God sees the heart. What else did God see in the story of Noah? And that's what's precious. Spends a lot more time talking about the bad things that he saw. But he says that God saw Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. What did Noah see? Noah was able here to look into the eyes of God. Yes, it was through faith. He heard the voice of God. I don't know that he actually saw the eyes of God, but through faith, He saw God's eyes. And what did he see when he looked into God's eyes? It says he saw grace. Not everybody saw grace, but Noah found grace there. The people did find some sort of grace. They were able to go on for another 120 years in their debauchery. God was long-suffering. God was patient. God allowed Noah to preach to them. But in the end, grace ran out and they were judged. God's eyes don't miss anything. Thought about that this morning when Sonny was having devotions and he said, somebody being born, four people being born every second. And as those children grow up, I don't know how soon their thoughts really begin to collect. As a baby, it's interesting to watch that. But God sees all those thoughts. I like to go different places in the scriptures now and look at some of the places where it talks about the eyes of God, just to get a picture of what God is doing with those. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. If I keep you turning to enough of scriptures this morning, you won't fall asleep. Proverbs 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. God's eyes are everywhere. Everywhere looking, looking, looking. And he's beholding the evil. He's beholding the good. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be beholden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And here God is, watching it, looking it, pondering over it. 7 billion people at once. God is pondering all their goings. And it's hard to imagine how can God do that, but God can, because he is God. We know when we want to stop and think about something, really think about something, we only think about one thing at once. We can only really watch one thing at once. And so many things go on around us and we don't even realize it's going on. I thought about it couple times this week. Twice we saw some deer walking by the house, and you wonder, how often does that happen and you don't see it? The neighbors said there was 3 bears walking around. None of us saw them, but somebody saw them. We don't see it. God sees everything that's happening. Earlier in the week, I got out a little late to the one job, had something else to do first. They got started, and partway through I said, who cut the rope? No one cut the rope. I didn't cut the rope. He didn't cut the rope. No one took responsibility. Finally, I decided I must have cut the rope because I was cutting up some firewood. The rope was nearby. I never saw it. We miss things sometimes. We make mistakes. God doesn't miss those things. This can be both scary and it can be comforting that God sees everything all the time. It can be very comforting. Psalm 34. And verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. This is a comforting side of the eyes of God. His eyes are upon the righteous. He really likes to look at the righteous. You know how we like to look at pretty flowers or a sunrise or a sunset? We just like to feast our eyes upon it, to see that, something that you really enjoy. You like to look at it. And that's how God is. He sees the righteous, and he wants to just watch them. And his ears are open. He's attentive to the righteous people. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God's eyes are running to and fro, and he is looking for opportunities to show himself strong. Here God wanted to help more. And he wasn't able to, or he didn't, because the king did foolishly. But God wanted to help more. God wants to help us. God is looking. His eyes are constantly looking for ways to help us. Proverbs 22, verse 12. A few more things that God's eyes do. Proverbs 22:12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the transgressor. It says that God's eyes preserve knowledge. How do God's eyes preserve knowledge here? Well, if you look for ways to help somebody or to teach somebody, to help them learn, if you're paying attention and something's going wrong, we stop and we say, hey, you shouldn't be doing it this way, or hey, did you know, you know, you could do this, or did you know about that? That's how God is. He's watching us all the time. And he's using those opportunities to preserve knowledge. He's using those opportunities to put us on the right path. And he's using those opportunities to throw the transgressors off course. So through God's eyes, through God watching us, he's able to preserve truth. Psalm 33, verse 18. A lot of verses in Psalms and Proverbs about God watching. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Let me read verse 17 first. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any of his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Here he's talking about the eye of God being much better than animals for safety or for a king. It's more important to have the eye of God upon us, looking to preserve us. Turn back a page or two to Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We do that with our children sometimes. We let them go, but we watch them. When they get close to danger, we warn them. We guide them with our eyes. God is watching us and ready to guide us with his eye. Jeremiah 32. Verse Verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God's eyes, how good are they? How good is God's vision? We talk about hindsight sometimes. We look back and we wish we had done it differently. Does God have hindsight? Does he have to use it? I don't think so. Everything is present to God. These verses here talk about how great God is, how he has made heaven and earth, how he's made all these things that are too big and too great for us. And yet, here he is, watching. They are upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And in the Old Testament, we see God did so much of that in the present. If they did good, he blessed them. Their crops did better. If they walked away from him, they got famine, or other people came and oppressed them. It was so much real time. It is that way as well today, but not physically. Spiritually, if we seek after him, God blesses us spiritually. He gives us strength. But if we don't, he gives us that as well. He gives it to us according to his ways, because of his eyes that are watching us. How good is God's sight? Turn over to Matthew 10. I was reading in Job, and Job he says he counts our steps. I didn't realize that was there. But God watches us and he counts our steps. How many steps did you take today? God knows. These verses talk about some more things about how good God's eyesight is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. I didn't want to read all the verses, but it's hard to know where to break in and read and where not to. But we'll read from verse 26 down to verse 33. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And he's telling them, he's preparing the disciples for persecution that was coming. And he's saying, what I'm teaching you here, even though it's just you disciples I'm preaching, when I'm gone, I want you preaching this on the housetops. He says, because, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? He said, aren't there just two birds being sold right now over there in the marketplace? God sees every one of those birds. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. How many hairs do you have on your head? God knows. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So here we have a God that knows so much about us. He knows our steps. He knows our hairs. He knows every sparrow that falls. So why do we think sometimes it doesn't really matter how we live? that this doesn't really matter, that doesn't really matter, that God doesn't really see, or he quickly forgives. What I'm trying to teach us this morning is the fear of the Lord. And just as soon as I think you've grasped it, I'll stop. I want us to think about the fact that God is watching everything that we do, and we need to fear him because of it. I didn't say we have to be scared of him, but we need to fear him. We need to realize that he sees everything. You can update your status on WhatsApp so people can see what you want them to see. God doesn't have to wait for an update. God doesn't have to have you send him a picture and take the picture at the right angle so it looks better. God doesn't have to do that. God sees everything. Have you ever had an idea about something questionable to do? And we look around first? We do that when we're children. After a while, you learn it doesn't really help much. Well, sometimes we look down the road. And I was riding with someone this week that hit the brakes because he thought he saw a cop. Well, if we're doing what's right, do we have to quick slam on the brakes? We look around. We want to see, is someone watching? Is my parents watching, or a teacher, or a policeman, or a preacher, or a friend, or someone that might get me in trouble if they see what I'm doing? And we forget to look up. God is watching. God is always watching. God always notices. And not only that, he writes it down. God is writing all the time. Do you ever wish you didn't have accountability with the internet? Have you ever deleted your history? We probably all have. I don't know. Why do we do that? Do we think it removes the evidence? Ever tried to remove the evidence? With mankind, there's men that have committed some hideous crimes they've done, but they haven't been convicted for it because they've removed all the evidence. They've done such a good job at covering up their tracks that they get away with it and they live for years. Somebody else may be convicted in their stead and thrown in prison because they think they have enough evidence for that. It is not so with God. God can always see it. When we think about the eyes of God, when we ponder the eyes of God, what does it do in our hearts? Does it comfort us, or does it bring us consternation? Does it bring us dismay, alarm, anxiety, or worry? Fear lest something hidden be revealed? Or does it bring us comfort, knowing that every effort for the kingdom is not lost? There's no effort for the kingdom that is lost. God sees every one of them, and God rewards them. That's just as comforting to me as it is alarming that God may see the wrong that I do. But the good things that I try to do that seem like they don't do much help, or they don't get noticed, or they don't have as much of effect, God sees all of that, and God rewards it. So let's ask forgiveness for the areas where we have failed. And let's move ahead, make choices that we don't need to fear the one who is watching. And we can take comfort in that. Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to read a few verses here. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain help, mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. And I just love that passage because it brings both of those thoughts together, both the fear and also the comfort. Because he says here, the Bible is so good at showing us who we are, showing us our sin, showing us how we need to live. And there is nothing that God doesn't see. It's all right there. God sees it all. And yet, we have a high priest that helps us through that. If we have sin, if we have problems, we know that we have Jesus who lived this life, lived with the same body, lived with the same struggles, and is ready to help. If we know that he's seen something he shouldn't have seen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 yet. We'll close with this passage. Hebrews 13. Verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're using our eyes. We're looking. We're trying to find a continuing city. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Again, thinking about God, watching what we do. That good Samaritan that helped the man by the road, Jesus saw that. That's how he knew about that. He said there was. God sees the good that we do. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, that we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the peace of God, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go through this week thinking about the eyesight of God, the things that God sees us doing. And let's make sure that we are doing things that are well-pleasing in his sight, things that are bringing glory to his name, and not things that are bringing shame to him or shame to ourselves. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, as we kneel before you this morning, we thank you that you have created us. And we thank you that you have given us a Redeemer. We thank you that you have continually looked upon mankind throughout the generations. As millennials have come and gone, you've always been watching, always been pondering our hearts, pondering our ways. You've been raising up people to lead. You've been putting down people where you will. Thank you, Lord, for moving among the hearts of men. And as we look into society around us, as we look at the nations struggling with each other, it's comforting to know, Lord, that you are watching and that you are caring about it, that you're careful and you're pondering it, and that you will care for your people as they are caught in the midst of it. And Father, we pray for those that are suffering persecution today, those that we do not know, especially in Muslim countries where they may be dealing with extra pressure right now. We pray that you would bless the Christians and help them to be bold to share about the peace that they have. Thank you for the believers in Bangladesh. And Lord, we just pray that you would comfort each one and strengthen them. And pray that you would help them in their efforts. We pray that you would bless those that lead out in that work, that they would have wisdom as well. Father, now we ask for each one of us as we go through this day, and as we have to make decisions about what we will do, I pray that you would help us to remember that you are watching. So we pray in Jesus' name, amen.